we have a word from heaven on today. Amen. God has a word for us. Amen. I thank God for giving me the word. I thank God for what he's doing. Thank God for the 11 years of being the pastor here at Rhema. I thank God for each and every one of you for the work that you're doing in the ministry. I just celebrated the anniversary on last Sunday. Amen. Thank again, Minister Corver, for bringing the word. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And to each and every one. And Mother Pittman for wearing that hat. Amen. She know what she's doing. She's starting some trouble. Amen. But I love to see the hats. Amen. Amen. God bless her for doing that. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's word on this morning. Amen. I hope you powered up your electronic devices, got your phones charged. Hope your phones don't go out on you. Those of you who are doing it the old-fashioned way, turn to Philippians, the third chapter. Amen. If you're already there, praise God. That means your engine is warm. Amen. My electronic folks, are you there? I can't hear nothing turning. I just want to make sure you're not buffering or at this time, you know. I'm just saying. Amen. Are you there, my electronic folks? Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading from the King James Version. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. I heard it in the audience, but that's what I want to kind of put our attention to, this one thing I do. Amen. We'll get more into that, but that's where I'm headed. Amen. Amen. One of the things I want to say is that, you know, we all have an imperfect past. Amen. Paul had a pretty ugly past in persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. He had plenty of time to reflect on the shame of that. But we also have to remember that Paul was a religious man even before he met Jesus. Amen. He was a Pharisee. He was an up-and-coming religious leader who had the trust of the religious establishment in place during the early days of the church. Amen. He could quote scriptures like nobody else. I mean, he attended the synagogue probably every week. Paul had it going on. But all of his religion didn't keep him from having a past that he didn't treasure as time went by. We don't have to, in other words, be a slave to our past. Amen. Paul could have said, look, I put people in prison. I voted for the death penalty for some of these Christians that I arrested. And there is no hope for me, and there is no way I could ever be used by Jesus. I mean, have y'all ever had people to say something like that, they done so much in their past, they feel like, well, I don't think the Lord could use me, not for some of the parties that I've thrown, not for some of the things that I've done, or all of the liquor that I chugged down, you know. But we all have a past. Amen. We all have a past. Amen. But when you say that you don't believe that the Lord can use you, you basically, you know, are making a decision to side with the devil. Amen. Amen. So Paul has something worth moving on for. He could look back on the fact that Jesus redeemed him from his past and was continually working in him. Amen. So there is a work that is going on inside of you that Jesus is doing. Paul is saying, in spite of his past, he was moving on. Amen. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul recognized his past, but he refused to be a slave to it. Paul was a few years away from his death when he wrote this book. When he wrote Philippians, he was under house arrest in Rome. At the last stage of his life, sometime around 62 AD, in a time when being a Christian was a pretty dangerous thing. Amen. Did you hear me when I say he was under house arrest? I mean, under house arrest, still praising God. Some folks would just try to give up or just give it up, you know. But now Paul has written the letter to the church that we have in our Bible. If you arrange them in chronological order, the letters he has written by this time, or the letters to the Galatians, Thessalonians, Corinthians, Romans, Philemon, Hebrews, Colossians, Ephesians. I mean, he's written almost half of the New Testament that we have today. Amen. And this man is still willing to praise and worship the Lord. Paul could have said, well, I'm an old man now. You know, I guess I'll just wait around until they chop my head off. Whenever that will be. I mean, here's a man who had an imperfect past and then had decades of fruitful ministry. Paul was the most successful evangelist and church planner in the history of the early church. Paul has achieved a great deal by any standards. Yet, Paul is not satisfied. Paul is not going to retire. He is not going to stop. Yet Paul still felt he had something to shoot for and work for. Amen. So he felt like there is still some work that needs to be done despite the situation, despite I'm under house arrest, despite I got a Roman guard watching me. He said, I still have some work to do, and I'm pressing towards the mark of the prize of the higher calling. See, some people would just give up. Paul still felt that he had a ways to go in his relationship and serve Jesus Christ. And in spite of his circumstances, Paul still wanted to strengthen those things. How many people look at their situation and their circumstances and decide that it's just not worth trying anymore? I can tell you right now, way too many people. Some people think they've got it all together and don't need to work on strengthening their relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, I'm always working on strengthening my relationship with Christ. I don't feel as though I have arrived, per se. You know, just because I'm a pastor and just because I went to school and obtained some degrees and counseling and teaching and theology, but don't mean that I have arrived. Because I've received a doctor's degree, it don't mean that I've completed my course. I still have some work to do in Jesus Christ. I mean, in this walk, in this ministry. we have to sometimes we have to evaluate ourselves and we have to look at ourselves. And in other words, we have to check upon our own selves. It's easy for me to look at my neighbor and say my neighbor can use some improvement. It's easy for us to do that. And that's the fun thing that we like to do is look at our neighbor and see what they need to improve on. But I remember a story of a grocery store owner who overheard a young boy using the payphone at the entrance of his store. And you know how telephone conversations are. You know, you only hearing one side of the conversation. You don't hear the other end of the conversation. So the young boy was talking on the phone, and the store manager was ear hustling. He kept in mind that, that the conversation, we have to understand is one-sided. The young boy said, "Hello, sir. I was calling to see if you could use a lawn boy to do your yard work." And the boy said, "Oh, I see. You already have someone. Well, is he doing your work to your satisfaction?" "He is." The boy said, "Thank you, sir. I was just checking." Then the boy hung up the phone, and then the grocery store owner looked at the boy and said, "I'm sorry you didn't get the job." The boy said, "Oh, no, sir. I've already got the job. I was just checking on myself to see if I was doing a great job to the satisfaction of the owner." Now, my point is, how will God appraise you today? The race is not finished until God says it's finished. So if you will call up the Lord and find out how you're doing, is it to the satisfaction of what God has called you to do? What would the report be? Amen? So no matter our current circumstances, we can move on to better and greater things. Paul was an old man under house arrest in Rome, just a few years from putting his head on the chopping block when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. He could have just sat back and retired from living for Christ and from the ministry. But it was of the opinion that he still had some work to do. And more than that, Paul still needed to know Jesus Christ better. Here's a man who had known Jesus for some years, probably had a relationship with him that most folks could only dream of. And yet, to Paul, it wasn't enough. It didn't matter that Paul was under house arrest. It didn't matter that Paul was an old man. It didn't matter what his current circumstances was. Paul needed Jesus, and he was willing. He was willing to make it happen. Listen to the words of Paul here. He said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." Paul did what it took within his current circumstances without making excuses. How many know folks can make some excuses? They can come up. You ask them to do something, I guarantee you, there's an excuse before they tell you something. He didn't. Paul didn't make an excuse. Christ was worth the effort for Paul. And if you'll make the effort for the Lord will make one for you. Paul was determined to move from his past and from his present circumstances to gain Jesus Christ. The goal is worth the effort. Paul here calls it a prize, not a paycheck, but a prize. See, some folks want to get paid for what they do. We had somebody who came to the church and got on one of the instruments and wanted to be paid for playing. They're not doing it for the Lord. They're doing it for the check. But when they found out that we don't pay, they soon got up off the instrument. But see, let me say, your service needs to be to the Lord, not for a paycheck. I mean, we're not in here for the paycheck. We're in here for the service of the Lord. Amen? Amen. So the person soon got off the instruments, found out that we don't pay. But there is a pay. Amen. But it's just not the kind that you think of. So it's time for us to get away from lukewarm relationships with Jesus. Lukewarm relationship, neither hot nor cold, just lukewarm. Lukewarm relationship. People will put, you know, let me tell you this. There are things that people will strive for. Y'all believe that? There's things that people will work for. There's things that, let me tell you this. People have some self goals in their lives where, you know, they may put a picture of a vacation spot on their refrigerator. I mean, or a dream home on their refrigerator. Something for them to shoot for. Something for them to go. So they put this vacation spot or this dream home on their refrigerator, and they work overtime, putting in as much overtime as they can, saving and sacrificing so they can get that dream vacation and home that they want. But they won't put in some overtime for Jesus. I'm just saying. Don't let us stay a little longer after service. I mean, if you're accustomed to service being over at 11 o'clock, man, God forbid if we dismiss at 11:01. Amen. Pastor preached too long. Isn't that what you said, Minister Cora? Pastor preached too long. Just go over just a little bit. Amen. The folks be like, oh, Lord, Pastor, it's past his time. I hope he know. Folks get the breathing heavy chest, start flaring up. They get swole sitting there in their seat. And then they let out a That's an indication that you over your time. Amen. But we don't do that here at Rhema, do we? As I keep my head focused. Paul is still saying to us today, everything that he has done or had isn't worth what he can gain through Jesus Christ. So all that stuff that you plan on doing, that you want to do, I mean, that's fine. But it ain't nothing compared to what you will gain in Christ Jesus. This is what Paul is saying. Yeah, okay, all this stuff, that's good, that's fine. But man, it is nothing compared to what I'm getting ready to get in Christ Jesus. Man, if you only knew. That's why the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard all of the good things that God has in store for you. I mean, come on now. It's just some things that God has said, but I'm not going to describe everything to you. Because my thing is, it will blow your mind. But God is saying, listen to me. I'm just going to put it to you this way. Your eyes have not seen, nor your ears have heard all of the good things that I have in store for you. All I'm saying is, if y'all ever loved a good party, God has said, I got a good party for you to go to. God is a party planner. Y'all just don't know. God know how to plan it. That's why he's telling you, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think what you got going on is something on and popping. God said, wait till you see what I got going on. That's what God is trying to tell you. The bottom line is, I want you to understand. Paul is trying to communicate this to us. What Paul is basically saying, he said, I've decided to turn the page. Paul is saying, I decided to turn the page on what? On his past and even his present circumstances. No matter what I'm in right now, Paul is saying, hey, I'm turning the page. He said, I wish people would turn the page on lukewarm relationships with Jesus. Jesus wants us to be on fire for him. loving him and living for him in every area of our lives. Spend time in the word and in prayer. I wish people would turn the page to half-hearted obedience to Jesus. I really do. You know, I wish people will get past and turn the page to lip service and get into this life service that we have. You know, that's a big difference. You know, lip service, you know, that's not good for you. You know, but get into this life service. Jesus says that if we love him, we will obey him. If we don't obey him, then we really don't love him. It's just that simple. So I want to encourage the people at Rhema as a whole to show the people around you that you can turn the page on your past and on your present situation and be on fire for the Lord despite what you go through and despite what it may look like. You can be on fire for God. Knowing that I did say this, remember that I did say this. There's going to be some mountaintops in your life and there's going to be some valleys. But remember, every valley you go through, there is a mountaintop that is coming. Because in order to get to the mountaintop, you got to get through the valley. It's just that simple. The problem is we just don't stay on top of the mountaintop as long. Because it's not adequate for us to stay up there. We're needed in the valley. Amen? You got to go through the valley. I mean, come on now. We all love to be served, but you got to do some service. Don't let this time in your life be the same old, same old. You don't have to live in the past. I mean, make this time the best year in your walk with Christ and your service for him. Each moment in your life is being shaped. Each moment through your thoughts, attitudes, and behavior, you're given another chance to reinvent yourself, to rebuild yourself, and work towards becoming a new person. Loving and wonderful, being born again. If you are constantly looking back with sadness, resentment, and regret, and forward with fear and worry, you will fail to realize that each day is a new beginning. Yesterday is over. It was over at midnight. Amen. It was over. There's nothing we can do about yesterday. Yesterday is gone. But today is a new day. It's a new beginning. This is what you need to focus on. It's the new day and the new beginning. This is what we need. And if you hold on to your history, you do so at the expense of your destiny. Amen. You holding on to the past and you forgetting what is right before you. The story of your past doesn't have to be the story of your life. Unless you want it to be. You your own worst enemy. You bringing misery on yourself. If you cling on the past and keep on using it as an excuse why you are moving with your life, your future would be very similar to your past. And it's no wonder why you're still miserable. Because you're living in the past and you're bringing it to the present. And you're taking it with you to the future. Forgetting those things which are behind. Ain't nothing you can do about that. That's over and done with. Somebody hurt you yesterday? That's over. That's gone. It's done. It's over with. Let's move on. You got so many people that are hurt in the church because a pastor did this or a pastor said that or this person said this or this person said that. Come on now. Let's move on. You are exactly where the devil wants you and not where God wants you. That's just that putting it that plain. We need to say the devil more, and you know, and because people don't want to believe in that the devil is real, but he is real. The Bible speaks of him. And if you are living a life of regret, thinking, if only I had that college education, if only I had married the right girl, if only I had taken up the other job, if only I had not made that stupid mistake, is your past robbing you of your joy today? then forget your past. You might say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've been gone through. I don't need to. Consider Paul. If the devil had anything to bring against Paul, it would be reminders of how he persecuted the church when he started off. It would be, you remember, you were there when they stoned Stephen. Could have brought that up. But here's a man that forgot about all that and moved on in Christ and wrote half the New Testament. Isn't that a blessing? I'm glad Paul moved on, because Paul moving on helping me is helping me right now today with the word of God. He's writing these books to help my soul, to let me know what he's going to do. So it's a blessing that he's moved on. You are a blessing to other people that you need to show them that you can move on, because somebody is watching you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Here it is. I'm reading about Paul and how Paul made it through his circumstance and his situation. Here you are today watching a pastor or whomever you may be watching, and you need to understand that somebody is watching you. So we don't know who's watching us, but we need to be like Paul and move on in Christ. Paul had done some things that were hard for him to forget, but he had such a revelation of God's awesome forgiveness that he could say this: forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Like Paul, you can forget your past, the wrongs you have done, and the hurts you have caused others or been through yourself. God can take the tears of your yesterday and transform them into the miracles of tomorrow. In Romans 8:28, he says that he can cause all things, even the painful events of your past, to work together for your good. All of that. God can have it to work together for your good. God's word says the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Y'all hear that? The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. His glory will cover your past. Wherever you go, his glory covers your past. It is no longer the same past that you know of, because his glory has descended on it. Your past is past. It has been wiped out. It is gone. So don't let your past rob you of today's joy any longer. And I believe you can get that in Isaiah 58 and 8. I forgot to put that scripture up, but that's where you can get that. I'm telling you, God's glory covers that. Yeah, there may be some people that come up to you and they may have a long list about you and say, I remember when you did this, and I remember when you did that. Yeah, I remember all about you, you know, all the stuff that you did. And you say, well, yeah, I can't deny any of the stuff that you got on there. This person right here got their shoes back. I didn't steal that. I gave that person them shoes back. You can say all of this stuff about me, but I'm going to show you something. There's another list that I want you to look at. And that is a list that Jesus has on me. Look at the new list. You got the old version there. That's the old version. There's a new version that just came out. Why? Because I was born again. I gave my life to Christ. I got the new list. I got the new version. Let me tell you about this new one. That's what you ought to do to folks. When they bring out the old list, you bring out the new list. And show them the new list. Let them see how long it's been. Let them see the work that you've been doing in Christ Jesus. Let them see how you've been on fire for God. Let them know how you're going through, but you're still coming out. Yeah, I know there's a list, but there's another list. So don't let folks do you like that. Amen? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it said, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. So there's a new list out on you. The old list, that's gone. Then you tell that you need to get rid of that because that list is gone. That list don't even mean anything no more. You need to look at my new one. So if we are going to obtain a new life in Christ, if we're going to be made new, we can't stop at just being saved. It's all right to be saved and satisfied, but God wants us to be saved and sanctified. That's a difference. I mean, some folks are satisfied, but God wants you sanctified. Too many folks, too many Christian folks, they think that they have, you know, they've been saved and they're like, that's enough. I ain't got to do no more. God is not just looking for saved folks, but he's looking for some folks who is willing to give him a sanctified life. Being saved and being sanctified are two different things. Being saved means that you have been free from the power of sin and sin no longer has dominion over you. In other words, sin no longer controls you because you have a life under a new master. Where sin was once your master, now Jesus Christ is your master. Being sanctified means that you have been set apart from the worldly and fleshly pleasures to be used for the purpose of God. Just for the record, I got to put this in there. Being sanctified doesn't have anything to do with how much you speak in unknown tongues, how cute your dance is, what the name of your church is. It doesn't have anything to do with how high you jump when you shout. But it has to do with how straight you walk when you hit the ground running for Jesus. It's got a lot to do with that, though. I just want you to know. I want you to make sure you understand the difference. Being sanctified is not a religion, but it's a lifestyle. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying? Man, it's a lifestyle. So it's like wherever you go, the presence of the Lord is coming with you. And it's going to meet you there. And when you leave, it's coming with you. And when you go, it's going with you. Wherever you go, the presence of the Lord is with you. Because you have a lifestyle. You are serving God regardless if it's Sunday, first Sunday, or second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday. And I believe there's a fifth Sunday. But I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter what Sunday it is. Because my life, I have a lifestyle of praising God despite where I may be. It doesn't matter if I'm at work. It doesn't matter if I'm in my yard. It don't matter if I'm at Lowe's. It don't matter if I'm at McDonald's. I'm praising the Lord because it's my lifestyle. My lifestyle is praising God. No, I may not come up here and dance and shout. I may not sing a song, but if you look at my life, it will tell you that I'm shouting. Even when I'm sitting down, I'm still shouting. God is looking for Christians whose sanctification is not based on how they work, but is based on how they live. It doesn't matter how much work you do in the church. I don't care if you clean the church from top to bottom. That's not it. That's not it. What matters what you do outside of the church. Amen? Outside of church. Anybody can act saved from 9:45 until the time we leave. You can put the routine on real good. I mean, you can even fool your pastor. I'm just saying. Let's just be real. Now, I am human. I may be on the anointing right now, but when I leave, the anointing may not always be on me. But you can fool some people, but you can't fool God. But what I'm saying is God is looking for 24/7 Christians, because what? 99 and a half just won't do. You got to make 100. Paul was successful because he was devoted to the cause. How many of you are devoted to the cause? He has not swayed from it for 20-some years. He received the call to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and was determined to do it. He traveled far and wide and throughout Asia Minor, taking on these long missionary journeys. You know, and keep in mind, did I tell you that they walked? Amen. I mean, some folks can drive and won't come to church. This man walked. I mean, keep in mind, they didn't have a bus line. They didn't have a taxi. They didn't have Uber. I mean, come on now. Y'all fail to realize. These people walked. Amen. They walked to where they needed to get to. You know, and then they started their journey. You know, but here you got folks, man. You know, they got cars, some two or three, and got full tank of gas, and folks won't even come to church. I mean, I'm just saying. He traveled far and wide. He kept moving from place to place. He did not stop because there was work to do. He didn't want to stop. No persecution can stop him. No hardship swayed to him, stop him. No imprisonment, no beating can stop him. Paul said, this one thing I do. I press toward the goal. See, let me say this. He didn't say, you know, there's a lot of things I can do, but, you know, there's some things on your agenda. You know, I may have something on my agenda, you know, or you may have 4 to 5 things on your agenda, you know, or you may be able to do 4 or 5 things at one time. I don't know. But you know what? There's one thing. Despite of all that, Paul is saying, there's one thing I do. I press on towards the goal. Find something you're good at and master that. If you want to live an effective lifestyle, you need to have a focus. In other words, Paul said, there's one thing. In other words, I got my focus on one thing. On one thing, that's all. So don't try to do everything. You don't have time for everything. You can't do everything. How many of y'all told some folks that? You can't do everything. Do you want, come on, I'm telling you. We have to get to the point where we have to get focused. Focus on what God is calling us to do. A focused life will have a far greater impact on us. So you have to get to the point to say, what is the one thing I need to do? It's throughout the scriptures. This is why, see, when I tell people, you don't read this like it's a magazine. You study this Bible. You have to take your time. Because, you know, Paul wasn't the only one that said one thing. You know, if you read in Mark chapter 21, Jesus said to the rich young ruler, one thing you lack. Amen. Jesus said to busy Martha in Luke chapter 42, only one thing is needed. You see the common denominator? One thing. David wrote in the Psalms, he said in Psalms 27 and 4, he said, one thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Y'all understand, there's got to be one thing on your agenda that you're going to focus on, that you're going to key in on. You know, y'all ever seen a lion when he's getting ready to hunt? There's like thousands of herds out there, but there's only one thing that lion is focused on. I don't care if what direction this go in or what direction this herd go in. He got his eyes focused on one thing. This is what we need to do. We need to have our eyes focused on one. That's why there's one God, one faith, one baptism. Notice I said one. You got to get focused. Many times the reason why you got so much going on because you're not focused. If you get yourself focused, you'll be like, Paul, this one thing I do know. I don't care what my situation may be right now. I don't care what I'm going through right now, but this one thing I do know. I know this for sure, that when I check out of here, I'm going to be someplace better than where I am. Paul had his focus.
his eyesight was still good because he was looking towards the hills from which comes his help. Because he certainly couldn't get no help down here. Amen. That's why y'all hear the pastors or preachers sometimes, they get up here, they say, oh, I can't get no help in here. And y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Amen. Folks don't want to help you. Amen. Paul in prison, he's getting ready to be chopped off. Paul can very easily say, I can't get no help in here. He can say, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. So you need to ask God to impress upon you one thing you need today. Plan your life and you will live it well. Planning what you are going to eat tonight is easy. Anybody can do that. Amen. Isn't that easy? I bet y'all, matter of fact, y'all probably already know, probably Googling it right now. Amen. Folks come to me and say, look at what so-and-so doing texting in church while you are preaching, Pastor. Folks probably already know what's on their agenda, you know, what they're going to need. They probably already got the menu up. Amen. Sending a text to whoever didn't make it to church today at home. I forgot to take this out. Can you do that for me? I'm still in the spirit. Amen. Y'all laughing, but I'm in the spirit. Paul was preoccupied with heaven. We got a lot going on in our life. A lot of distractions. Let me tell you something. Satan is great at distracting us. Our folks on the job can't get their work done because they distracted. A person looking at the phone, man, put your phone down and do this work, man. We need this stuff done. Folks can't get, oh, I don't have enough time. Yes, you do. Put the phone down. We have the time. We're just not managing it right. You got the time. You're not managing. Only what you do for Christ will last. That's scripture. Paul was concerned about his heavenly goal. He was concerned to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Man, that's what I want to hear. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thy end. Boy, that's some powerful words when you hear that. We are preoccupied with a lot of things. Paul knew very well of the earthly comforts, or pleasures. He was well aware of all of the things that we love and the things and the comforts that we have, you know, but he was uncomfortable most of the time in prison and beaten and shipwrecked and stoned and persecuted. He was often in some kind of painful or difficult situation, but he was not too concerned about that. He was more committed to living a productive life and moving towards the goal of the prize of the higher calling. And that is in Christ Jesus. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm just saying many of us have not been shipwrecked or beaten or imprisoned or persecuted or stoned to death, you know, or snake bitten or anything like that. I mean, we have a difficult time when somebody didn't speak to us. Amen. Somebody didn't speak to us, or somebody may have accidentally bumped up against us and didn't see you behind them. And we get mad and say, that person pushed me. And when the person didn't really see you. Amen. We find any old kind of excuse to get out of church or to move on. But you know what? But see, here's the thing. When you become in Christ, you become a new creature. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, before you can become new, the first thing that happens, you must first make a decision to be in Christ. That's why Paul included the word if. In other words, Paul is telling us if we make the decision to be in Christ, we can be made new. The process must begin with making the decision. The word of God tells us in Joshua 24 and 15 to choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. You got to make a decision. When you become a new creature, you don't have the same desires you used to have. You don't drink the things you used to drink. You don't smoke the things you used to smoke. The places you used to go to, you don't have a desire to go there anymore. The things you used to do, you don't do anymore. See, when God does a new thing in your life, new things come out. Amen. New ideas will come out. A new spirit will come out. A new outlook on your life will come out of you. The bad attitude dismisses. The spirit of laziness dismisses. Amen? The words I can't, you know, there are words that I can't, you know, say, you know, but some people still use some words. Negative stuff. We need to understand that those bad habits, they're gone when you're new in Christ. If you make the decisions to be in Christ after you go through the development stage of being new, after you go through getting rid of old stuff, then God will give you deliverance. He will give you a new attitude, new blessing, a new calling, a new destiny, a new enthusiasm, new faith, a new goal, a new heart, a new intention, a new job, a new life, a new mission. Amen. All these things become new in you. You know, when God delivers you, you are made new. Not only will you be delivered, not only will God deliver you out of your sins, but whatever you may be doing, God would help you get out of it. Amen. He will make a way out of no way. We all know that. We've heard that before. And we have to understand that God made a way out of no way for Joshua when he was in the battle of Jericho. The same God that delivered David from Goliath, he can do the same for you today. God that delivered Lazarus from the dead, he can deliver you also. We need to understand that we serve a God that is all-powerful, that is almighty, that can do those things. Amen. As I get ready to close, I want to say this to you. You all remember Wilma Rudolph, right? Or you may have heard of her. Wilma Rudolph could have given up many times to pursue the dream. I was reading where she was born with polio and suffered bouts of pneumonia and all of that. She had a lot of things that she had to overcome. She started wearing a leg brace when she was 5 years old. One day at the age of 11, she decided she had enough of the leg brace. And so she took off the brace and walked down the aisles at the church, never to wear it again. When she was 13, it says she became active in basketball and track and at school. Her running improved such an extent that she began winning races. And she was invited to a training camp, amen, to, I believe, at Tennessee State. Wilma persistence and enthusiasm led her to train even harder. She went back to the Olympics in 1960, having already broken a world record in the Olympic trials in the 200 meter. At the Olympics in Rome, she became the first American woman to win 3 gold medals. Amen. And she was honored in her hometown. So her story has inspired thousands of others to pursue to persevere through trials and pursue their dreams. She could have easily got discouraged many times, but instead she didn't. She looked back, she looked forward, she pressed on with the determination to win the goal. She didn't use her challenges from the past as an excuse to hold her back from achieving her goal. Hurts and pains and disappointments can grow in bitterness. But I like the fact that when she walked down the aisle, she said she had enough. But that's the attitude that it's going to take for some of us as Christians. We got to have that same attitude. Here she was in church, and she said, "I've had enough," and took the braces off, walked down the aisles. Here we are in church right now. Same setting she was in. We need to get in our own mind, and we need to say to our own self, "I've had enough of this same old, this same old lifestyle. Nothing changed. Everything is still the same." You need to get inside of your mind that you need to say to yourself, prophesy to yourself, speak to yourself, preach to yourself. Anything you can do to motivate yourself, you need to say to yourself, "I've had enough, and I'm going to be delivered today. Today is my last day. walking like I was walking. Now I got a new walk in Christ. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So today can be the new beginning for you right now. But you got to make the decision to say, I've had enough. And let me tell you, you can't say it like this. I've had enough. No. Some things you got to say with an attitude. I had enough. Because you got to talk to who's trying to bring this stuff into your life. You got to let them know that you had enough. You can't be saying, I had enough. Stop. Come on now. You got to say it with some authority. If you want somebody to stop messing with you, y'all know how to get an attitude. All right now. Hey, okay, do it again here. Y'all know how to do it. Y'all know how to get that attitude. You ain't going to tell somebody to stop and say, stop. Amen. Next time I'm going to be on you. Amen. Ministers, make your way up.
First Corinthians chapter 11, and we're beginning with verse 23, and it says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement of confirmed. With my blood. Do this to remember me. For as often as you drink it, every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." And what that means is we do not take this lightly. It's a sacred event. And we're taking the bread, eating it as it was his body. We're drinking the wine, eating it, drinking it as if it were his blood. And the only requirement for that is believing that he died on the cross, he rose again, and he has forgiven you. And you're able to do what the word said today. Forgetting those things which are behind you, yeah. Pressing toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for communion this morning. We ask that you would bless us as we come. We thank you for this occasion, one of the few that you gave us to remember you by. Let us do it, honoring you, O God, cherishing what you did for us, and living a life that will be worthy of you. In Jesus' name, amen.